For many years, for 8 years, I was a psychotherapist, among other things, at the Harvard Health Service and the Stanford Health Service and Cal and so on. And I would spend a day a week, and I had 8 patients, and I would sit there and I would Freudian and run them through my Freudian theories. After I had taken psychedelics for a while, I began to see that that model I was using was standing in the way of real change at times, because since I was busy being a doctor at some level or other, since that was the only role available to me, doctors needed patients. That's the symbiotic thing that you do. That's who you hang out with. See? So that if I'm going to be the doctor, there's only room for one of us being the doctor, and I'm it. See? I may have as many hang-ups as you have, but we've decided the game is that I'm the doctor this time, and therefore you're the patient. And the question is, how a patient ends being a patient. It's like psychoanalysis terminable or interminable, another level of understanding that article. So I thought, well, as long as I'm being busy being a doctor, I need patients. And every time a person stopped acting like a patient, I got to get rid of them, because they're not fulfilling whatever it is I need. So then I entered into a new, I was teaching at that time game theory as a psychodynamic device, not as a joke, but as a way of, I was teaching it in junior high schools actually, in a mental health, mental hygiene course, teaching kids how to do behavior change in themselves through game analysis of their own game roles and so on. And they were very hip, those kids. They said, is there a non-game center? And I'd say, no, you know, or I don't know, or don't worry about that, or you're not ready, see, because I didn't know what to answer at that time. So I changed my therapy deal around, which seemed like a kind of an external hype, but it really was symbolic of something a little deeper. I started to have the person next to me, and we had a big chalkboard up there, and we would chart his game. And he brought the data, and I brought the research theories. And he was my research collaborator in this behavior change problem. And what I did was, I was immediately setting up a dissociative thing with the quote, patient, so that the part of him that was sick was the part that we were studying, and the relation I was having was with him as a researcher of his own sickness. That is, I was immediately separating him from his sickness by saying, I don't see who you and I are relating isn't the sick guy, okay? Now, that was phony and it was real. It was a little of each. Now, then I went to India, and I started to get into other kinds of spaces and understandings, and I came back and I realized that to the extent that I didn't think at all, didn't get stuck in any role, I was going to be the optimum use to him. I've got to feed in one experience that I had that seems relevant. I was in England, and I was with a psychiatrist by the name of Ronnie Lang. Ronnie and I decided to take LSD together. And he said to me, how much should we take? And I said, well, why don't we take about 300 micrograms? And he said, well, that's a little much for me, but as long as you're along, I guess it's all right. Now, by his saying that, he put me into the role of sort of being his protector. That is, he cast me into the role of being the guide, which bugged me a little bit, but okay, I don't know this guy. If that's the trip I'm supposed to play, I will be John Responsible, right? And he can flip around the room, right? And my usual model of what's going to happen is I'm going to take it and I'm going to create a pleasant environment. I'm going to put on Miles Davis records in those days, and we're going to all lie around and, you know, do it. So we take this, and the first thing that happens after we've taken these chemicals is he takes off all the clothes but his shorts, and he starts to stand on his head. And this doesn't fit into my model of what you do when you have psychedelics. I don't know anything about yoga, and it all seems absurd to me. This is 5, 6, 7 years ago. So I watch with a certain, you know, disbelief. And then he walks over to me, and he looks into my eyes, and his face looks like the most defenseless child, just like my model had been, that I'm going to have to take care of him. See, I'm going to be the guide, see. And he now looks like a totally defenseless child. He looks like somebody who He arouses in me every nurturant impulse I have. And I feel tremendously protective of him. And I just feel that, and I'm like saying to him, Ronnie, I'm not saying anything, but I'm like, Ronnie, it's all right, I'm here, you know, that kind of, count on me, you know, and he's just like a little child, wide open. And we are no sooner in that role than his face takes on the subtlest change, just muscle patterns like. It's as if a thought in his head manifests in a change in his face. And he now looks like the most protective, fatherly, warm, nurturant being, and he arouses in me all those uncooked seeds of being a little dependent child, see, and I become, oh, Ronnie, oh, wow, you will take care, you are going to be my, oh, Ronnie, I can do it this time, oh, wow. The minute I'm in that, his face changes again, see, and he's now the student, and he's asking me questions, you see, and this is all silent, it's all meme, and all just facial things, it's all thought forms. Well, Ronnie and I, in the course of the next 6 hours, went through, I don't know, perhaps 80 or so different social roles. And what we did was we went, once I saw the way the game worked, we'd go into a role, a symbiosis, like therapist and patient, and then we'd flip it around and then be patient and therapist. And we'd be executioner and prisoner, and then prisoner and executioner. And we went through, and some of them really scared us, believe me. You know, really scary. And in each one, you had to say, right, okay, that one, and then flip over and do the reverse of it, you see. And I began to see that Ronnie and I were establishing a contact in the place where we were behind all of that. You could say the people that were playing the game. And it's like in an English tennis match at the set point when they're fighting for this point and they look up at each other and say, jolly good game, yes, jolly good, and then they're back into the game. See, it's that up level of, here we are and the sun's out and it's really beautiful, isn't it? Right? And the most powerful statement of that I had ever heard connected with LSD was in the World Medical News, the work of Eric Cast giving LSD to terminal cancer patients, when one nurse, a cancer patient, had said, yes, I know I'm dying of a deadly disease, but look at the beauty of the universe. That is, she was able, through that experience, or in the midst of that experience, when it was properly administered under the right conditions, to see the process of dying as a process of dying and still identify free of she who is dying. And then the fear disappears, and most of the difficulties you have in the dying process is the fear connected with death. In fact, many difficulties and many planes are connected with that. Many planes. Now, so when I come back from India now, and after that experience with Ronnie, I'm not doing anything, and people come to see me, and they are hung up in some way. Now, I'm a yogi, see? But after all, I'm trained as a psychotherapist, so I'm still a psychotherapist. And I've been guiding psychedelic sessions, so I'm still, in some sense, a guide of consciousness journeys, even though I'm not working with drugs anymore. And all that stuff, instead of being lost, just seems to be amalgamating, right? It's summating in some way. So now I'm doing an interesting thing. I look into somebody's eyes, right? And I may look into their eyes from anywhere from 30 seconds to 10 hours. But when I look into their eyes, I'm not looking into their eyes. That's the first thing. I am looking at a point right between their eyes, slightly above, right here. And as a result of focusing on that point, I'm able to see both eyes, first thing. The second thing is I'm sitting there doing Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani. In other words, I empty my mind completely. Right? So that I am merely, if you will, a mirror, since I have no game going. There's nothing, all I'm doing is bringing myself to my center and focusing. And I'm focusing just as if I were focusing on a candle flame. It is not interpersonal in any sense. I'm not saying, are you there? I'm here. Hello, I love you. Don't worry, you can trust me. None of that. It's just, you know, candle flame. It's a one-pointedness, right? Now,